Okay, before we get started on the meat and potatoes portion of the show on I'm Right, we have to honor the passing of a legend. Donald McPherson is his name. He was the last surviving ace from World War II. We developed a plane called the Hellcat. World War II buffs will, of course, know what the Hellcat is. The Hellcat, taking off and landing on aircraft carriers. Donald McPherson, at one point in time, shot down 5 Japanese planes, got the Congressional Gold Medal, just a stud in every sense of the word, a complete stud. And he just passed at the age of 103. Now, that's obviously a wonderful life, a life well lived. If I'm being honest, it saddens me a great deal that they're almost all gone now. Almost all those World War II veterans are gone. You know, Father Time is undefeated. And rest in peace, warrior. Appreciate you very much. All right. Now, let's talk about retribution, communism, the government, everything, the John Bolton raid. By the way, right when the John Bolton raid, the raid of John Bolton's home, right when that happened over the weekend, I went and did a 6-7 minute video on YouTube, on my YouTube channel. I do that from time to time. Go subscribe to that at Jesse Kelly DC on YouTube. Go watch it, subscribe to it, enjoy yourself. It's free of charge, of course. Now let's discuss it. John Bolton did what? Well, he did what apparently every single person who works in the government does. He got sticky fingers with classified documents. Thought they were his personal possession. There's value there. Took them home. He's accused of sending them to people, emailing them to family, being, I mean, unbelievably careless with critically important pieces of information. Do keep in mind that foreign adversaries like China and many, many others have the ability to take anything from your email they want to take. So when you take classified documents and you're sending them from your Gmail account, you are exposing the United States of America to bad, bad, bad things. So let's talk about this. What did John Bolton have to say when Donald Trump's home was raided?
If he has anything like what the complaint, what the indictment alleges, and of course the government will have to prove it, then he has committed very serious crimes. This is a devastating indictment. I speak here as an alumnus of the Justice Department myself, because not only is it powerful, it's very narrowly tailored. They didn't throw everything up against the wall to see what would stick. This really is a rifle shot, and I think it's it should be the end of Donald Trump's political career.
Right? I mean, he practically had the vapors over there at the thought of Mar-a-Lago being raided, and now he wakes up and his home has federal agents inside of it, federal agents walking out with boxes. And that brings me, of course, to what the reaction has been to this over and over and over and over again. If you've been watching the television over the weekend, you saw the left using words like retribution.
President Trump promised retribution against his political enemies, and there is no doubt that he is serious about keeping that promise.
I think this is clearly retribution. I mean, the idea that what they just picked John Bolton, a prominent critic of the president at random, what the president is trying to do here is very systemic and systematic, and that is anyone who stands up to the president, anyone who criticizes the president, anyone who says anything adverse to the president's interests, gets the full weight of the federal government brought down on them.
Okay. So let's talk about retribution. What if it is? And obviously there's a part of that. What if it is retribution? Well, yeah, it should be. You see, what they did, what the communists have done with the government over the decades is they have conquered it. They took over all the agencies, they took over every part of it, and they've taken all those government guns that were supposed to be pointed outward, protecting us from foreign adversaries, and they slowly but surely did what they always do, and they took those guns and pointed them inward at their political opponents. Yeah, did you see J.D. Vance sit down with Kristen Welker? Look at this.
But you know, a lot of people have already looked at this and said, this looks a lot like retribution. Is this retribution?
Well, who has said it looks a lot like retribution? People who tried to throw Donald Trump in prison for completely fake charges that were later thrown out by multiple different courts. I suspect that if the media and the American people let this case actually unfold, if they let the investigation unfold as it's currently doing, they're going to find out that what we're doing is being very deliberate and being very driven by the national interest and by the law here, and that's as it should be.
Remember what they did to Donald Trump? But you know what? Set that aside. Set that aside. Set aside what they did to Donald Trump, because that's well documented. You know about that. They tried to bankrupt him. They tried to throw him in prison in New York. They tried to throw him in prison in Georgia. Everyone seemed to forget about that. They had a special prosecutor. They tried to throw the Republican nominee in prison, in federal prison. They weren't going for fines. They weren't going for a slap on the wrist. They turned the FBI and CIA loose against their political opponent and tried to throw him in prison on ridiculous charges that to this day nobody can even lay out what he was accused of doing. So they just made things up. But again, set aside Donald Trump. Let's talk about what the communists did to you when they got full power. They sent the FBI into your church. Here in the United States of America, the land of the free, we had FBI special agents in the parking lot of school board meetings, jotting down license plate numbers to open up domestic terrorist files on moms who were mad that their kids were being taught a bunch of gay stuff in schools. That's what the communists did. Mark Hauck had ridiculous charges brought up against him, and an FBI SWAT team sent to his door with guns pointed in his face, in his family's face, because the communists were angry that Roe versus Wade got overturned and they wanted to take it out on somebody. This is just a taste of what the communists did when they got power. Remember all those times they tried to call you a white supremacist?
According to the intelligence community, terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland today. Not ISIS, not Al-Qaeda, white supremacists.
In the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
A huge chunk of those domestic terrorism investigations involve racially motivated, violent extremist motivated terrorist attacks. And the majority of those, of the racially motivated violent extremist attacks, are fueled by some kind of white supremacy.
Well, that didn't make sense, did it? Because you've never met a white supremacist in your life. So let me explain it to you. This was in an effort to classify their political opponents as terrorists so they could justify sending government guns against you. What happened during Joe Biden's 4 years was the most evil stuff the United States government has ever done, because the communists conquered it and aimed all their guns at you, at me, at Donald Trump. Now, let's talk about something even worse. They're going to take power again. I don't think it's going to be soon. They've lost their minds right now. But you're not a baby. You're not a child. You know how it works. At some point in time, they will take power again. What is stopping them from doing all that again? What will stop them? Their morality? Don't make me laugh. The only chance we have at getting these people to back off and not do what they did before is making them afraid. The next time a communist puts in a communist FBI director and has a meeting with him and says, hey, I want these Republicans to go to prison, the only thing that might hold that next FBI director back is watching what happens now to the people who did it before. And him saying to himself, I'd love to, sir. I'd love to go arrest these Republicans, but I don't want to go to prison like the last guy did. Retribution? You bet it is. And it should be. Because when you are in a war for power, and we very much are in a war for power, you had better hit back and let the enemy know that it can come right back to him, so he better mind his P's and Q's. That's how wars are fought. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. I love feeling good all the time. This morning, you know what I did? It's kind of a routine for me. Got some blueberries, got a couple breakfast tacos, had my male vitality stack from Chop sitting there. I like to start my day out with natural herbal supplements that have my T levels through the roof because it makes me feel good all day long, full of energy, full of pep. Do you want to feel like that all the time? Whether you're a man, woman, young, old, Chalk has natural herbal supplements that will make your entire life better. Not just this little thing or that little thing, your life will be, you'll be better at work, you'll be better at school, you'll be better at home, be better in your relationships. Go try it. And look, if you don't feel better, 60 days, 90 days, cancel your subscription. I've been taking a male vitality stack for over 3 years. Chalk.com/JesseTV gets you a huge discount. Go. I'm floored that the government is actually shrinking. The government never shrinks. It never does. In my 44 years on this planet, just government grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. We're looking by year end at 300,000 fewer federal workers. Gosh, that's amazing. And joining me now, somebody who's been a big part of that. So happy for him. Happy we have him. The EPA Administrator, Lee Zeldin. Hey, Lee, well done. What are you guys doing over there firing everybody?
Listen, we came in at the beginning of January and had a lot on our plate of what we needed to tackle operationally with policy. On the operational side, the president signed an executive order ending COVID-era remote work. We had to get people back into the building. The numbers I had asked for, just to get a sense of how many people were even coming in. Average attendance on Mondays and Fridays last year was 5 to 8%. The record high day of attendance was 31%. We went through reorganizations. When we came in, our number was about 16,155. The number is going to be right-sized, about 12,500. And we will actually get more of our statutory obligations fulfilled at 23% less than what we came in on. It's just about priorities. We inherited a massive backlog to pesticide review, new chemical review, small refinery exemptions, state implementation plans, and we should be prioritizing first and foremost the statutory obligations in front of this agency, statutes out there by Congress. On the policy side, we inherited what were a lot of decisions from 2023 and 2024 from the Biden administration, where they were getting a lot of new rules and regulations over the finish line, trying to strangulate out of existence entire sectors of our economy, specifically our energy economy, but not just them. And we're trying to reverse that damage as quickly as we can, doing everything at once. And the last thing that I'll mention that we had to tackle, again, we'll just do it everything at the same time, is tracking down all of the money that was going through the EPA. Tens of billions of dollars. I've now canceled over $29 billion worth of grants since I've gotten here. We found all sorts of money just riddled with self-dealing, conflicts of interest, unqualified recipients, reduced agency oversight, money going to well-connected left-wing activist NGOs. And we come in and we're not trying to get that money redirected towards right-wing activist NGOs. This isn't about ideologically just trying to get it to well-connected, you know, friends on the right. This is about the taxpayer. And that money should be fought for all American taxpayers and not lit on fire. So yeah, a lot of priorities, staff size, money spent, regulations. We'll do more deregulation in 1 year than entire federal governments have done across all agencies, across entire presidencies, just at the EPA.
Tell me about these regulations. What kind of regulations have we been living under in this country? Because people don't realize what a regulatory state we have right now.
So there was a Supreme Court decision called Loper-Bright that came out in recent years overturning the Chevron doctrine. Essentially, the Supreme Court saying that agencies like the EPA should not be getting creative in giving themselves their own power, that the EPA shouldn't be saying that where a statute is silent, that it should be interpreted to mean, well, if the statute doesn't say we can't, then I guess that means we can. No, and the major policy doctrines also says that if you're going to do trillions of dollars of regulation, well, maybe that should be something debated and voted on by Congress as opposed to bureaucrats at an agency in Washington, D.C. So we come in, we want to follow the rule of law. We want to follow the plain reading of the law. And these rules, these regulations over the course of the last couple of years, not just the last couple of years, but that's a lot of decisions that were made where they're trying to get rid of the coal industry, for example. So we come in and we're going to respect the Supreme Court decisions in West Virginia versus EPA, Michigan versus EPA, and more. And we proposed that we're going to rescind the Clean Power Plan 2.0. Sounds good until you get into the details. The 2024 mercury and air toxic standards. Well, of course we need mercury and air toxic standards, and we still will have mercury and air toxic standards, but the 2024 mercury and air toxic standards will get reconsidered. Again, just like the Clean Power Plan and some of these other rules that came out, trying to get all these coal plants across America to just shut down. We sent to Washington, we sent to Congress here in D.C., three Biden EPA waivers that were given the state of California that they used for their electric vehicle mandate and other tailpipe emissions. Congress then reviewed it, and under the Congressional Review Act, they passed three bills signed by the president getting rid of those EPA waivers. We also proposed for rescission the 2009 Obama EPA endangerment finding and all other regulations that followed based on the endangerment finding for light, medium, and heavy-duty vehicles. We're talking about $1 trillion with the most conservative estimate that would get saved. So there you're talking vehicles. You could talk energy policy, manufacturing, and so much more. The consequences of these policies are real. We're choosing to protect the environment and grow the economy. It's not a binary choice. We're not going to choose between the two. The American public choose both. We choose both.
Can you elaborate a little bit on our refining, our ability to refine here? Because people don't understand how much that has been taken away, how critically important it is, and then how hard it is to build them again. You don't build them in a month.
President Trump is talking about unleashing energy dominance. He formed the National Energy Dominance Council. Doug Burgum as chair, as Secretary of Interior. Chris Wright, vice chair, Secretary of Energy. I'm on that. Secretary Lutnick and others. We meet with the president frequently to discuss policy as it relates to the National Energy Dominance Council. We want to, President Trump wants to, unleash energy dominance right here in our own country. We tap into our own energy supply better than so many other countries do elsewhere around the world. So it's better for our economy, our national security, but also for our environment. We also need to build more pipelines. President Trump has been pushing a new LNG pipeline over the course of hundreds of miles in Alaska, right next to the Trans-Alaska pipeline. He's been pushing Constitution Pipeline, which would deliver natural gas from Pennsylvania into New England. NESE Pipeline, which would be built delivering natural gas onto Long Island. There's a big natural gas pipeline that's been getting advanced in Southwest United States, delivering from New Mexico and into Arizona. And the list goes on. So it's not just about tapping into what is under us, but making sure it could get to these residents and businesses across the entire country, keep costs down, be able to create jobs, and allow Americans to be able to afford to heat their home and to fill their car up and not have to rely on foreign sources of energy in order to do it.
Lee, what's cloud seeding? You see a million internet crackpot conspiracy theories on what it is, what it isn't, what's happening, but what is it? Didn't we make it rain?
Yes, that is something that is allowed in some states here in the United States. It's not a national act of Congress that has cloud seeding all across the entire country, but some states have been supportive of cloud seeding specifically to be able to create elements to make it rain. And that's something that I've been outspoken on with concerns as it relates to different forms of weather modification, geoengineering. I believe that a lot of this has not been thoroughly researched and vetted out enough. And, I just did an interview with another person in the media on the right a few days ago, where that person pointed out, we shouldn't be playing God with these activities. And gosh, the point is well taken, especially when this hasn't been thoroughly, adequately, substantially vetted out and researched. In the past, the federal government has even funded some of these activities. There's some talk where private actors are discussing large investments to scale up their activity of geoengineering. In one case, we're aware of an entity that has not scaled up, but they want to put sulfur dioxide into the stratosphere, which causes acid rain, and they want to do it with a desire to advance stratospheric aerosol injection, solar radiation modification, to try to get the sun to deflect off of different levels of our atmosphere so that they can help combat global warming. But instead of these entities going rogue and being able to have a free run to be able to do this, this is something that I've been outspoken about and educating the public. I believe that the American public should know whatever I get to know, whatever I know as administrator of EPA. And I would also say that this isn't just about the United States. There are other countries that have been pursuing geoengineering. And even if it was stopped here in the United States, if it's happening elsewhere, what happens over the Asian continent or over the European continent impacts other continents, including our own. Just because it happens out of our country doesn't mean that it impacts us. And then my last thing I'll say is this. My only word of advice for anyone listening who cares about these issues, you have to be accurate. We all have to be accurate in how we discuss it. I have found some people confusing different terms where they'll describe, they'll show a picture or a video and they'll describe it as something other than what it actually is. It's very important for credibility of the argument to make sure that everyone is communicating here accurately with what exactly you're showing in that picture and that video. That's going to be key. But I think a lot of people in this country just don't, they've just ignored this issue. They say if anyone talking about it must be wearing a tinfoil hat, conspiracy theorist, and none of it's true. We put up on our webpage, epa.gov/geoengineering, everything that we were able to collect after I was sworn in. And I told the staff here at EPA, I have a lot of questions. Here are my questions. Whatever the answers are, I'm not trying to bias the answers. I just want to know what the answer is, what the fact is, what the truth is. And whatever you tell me, I'm going to share publicly because I don't see any reason whatsoever for me to be holding anything back. We should be fully transparent. Whether that proves a theory true or it proves a theory untrue, we should just be telling the public whatever it is we know.
Lee, thank you so much for the work you're doing, brother. Appreciate you. I love sleeping. I love that feeling when you wake up in the morning and you just know it's going to be a good day because I'm rested. And vice versa, when your eyes feel like sandpaper in the morning and you tossed and you turned and you just know I'm going to be in a bad mood all day. Work's going to suck. This is going to be horrible. That's why I love Dream Powder. Because there's a lot of things that can help you sleep. I know that. But you know what almost every one of them have in common? You feel horrible when you wake up. Yeah, you slept, but you wake up and you feel like you didn't sleep at all. Dream Powder is natural. All natural things. It's a cup of hot chocolate. It's got magnesium and all kinds of things in it. You'd never know it. It's a delicious cup of hot chocolate. I have a cup of hot chocolate every night before bed. Out. Wake up feeling good every single day. You want to feel like that? Shopbeam.com/JesseKelly saves you a fortune. Go get a bag of Dream Powder. Well, by now, unless you've been living under a rock, you've probably seen a picture or the video of a 14-year-old girl in Scotland with a hatchet and a knife fighting off, or at least attempting to scare off somebody who was after her. Joining me now to talk about what exactly happened out there, what is going on? Are these people about to have a revolution? The great Tommy Robinson, British journalist. Okay, Tommy, would you do me a favor for those who are unaware of it? Unpack this story. What happened? Why is she running around with a hatchet?
So there's a viral video. It shows a young Scottish child who clearly says, "You've attacked children." So she's been attacked, or her sister's been attacked, violently attacked. The allegation is by these migrant. It's a migrant man. Now, just so people understand, from one end of Europe, from one end of Britain to the other, young girls like this have been kidnapped, tortured, and raped. And whenever this happens, they've been made the scapegoat. So even now, the media are probably about to try and spin this, totally spin it. Even though you can hear the little girl saying, "You attacked us, leave us alone, stay away from us," you can hear her clearly talking about a previous physical attack, which allegedly is to do with the man videoing the young girls. But across Britain, children are being targeted. The police stand by, allow it to happen, facilitate it, and that little girl now has faced prosecution for having a weapon. Well, the this is going on across our country, and the media now are trying to spin it to say there's no proof that she was attacked. You can clearly hear what she's saying in the video, and it's a sad state of affairs now that young girls are having to arm themselves with weapons to defend themselves against migrants who have been imported into this country.
Gosh, what a friggin' world. Did you say she's being prosecuted? What's happening to him?
Nothing's happening to him. She's being prosecuted. Now, just so you know, just last week at a migrant hotel in Epping, a migrant let himself into an old lady's house, walked into her house. Her daughter then chased him. And when her daughter chased him, her daughter now faces prosecution. The migrant has not been arrested, not been prosecuted. The daughter who chased him out of the house has faced prosecution for what happened at the migrant hotel. This little girl is facing criminal prosecution. The migrant, nothing at all.
Tommy, I see these videos in Scotland, in Ireland. I see these videos, and I see the anger rising. Obviously, you've been a part of this, of raising a big part of this, raising awareness of all this. Are the people, are they fed up? And I don't know what that means, right? I certainly don't want to see anyone get hurt, but are people fed up? Where's this going?
This country is bubbling like never before. I'm not just exaggerating here. It's brewing on revolution. The public are awake, the public are furious, the public understand their safety has been taken, they realise we've been betrayed, we're looking at our culture disappear, our towns and cities are changing, the demographics are changing that quick, that fast, we feel like foreigners in our own towns and cities. That's what's happened, that quick, that fast. Whilst British people are struggling to get dentist appointments, to get doctors, migrants are being brought in, put in four-star hotels. British pensioners cannot afford their heating, can't pay their bills, whilst migrants are put up in hotels with free luxury meals every single day. Many of the migrants that have come in, there have been 25 sexual assaults on children by migrants in hotels. Put up in hotels. 9 British women have been raped by migrants just in those hotels. Just so you know, 90% of rape cases don't go to court. So if we've got 9 court cases of migrants who have raped women, how many British women are being raped? And there's not a day that goes by now where we don't see a story of a migrant sexually assaulting, attacking, torturing young girls and British women in this country. And the whole time that's happening, our government want to call anyone who opposes it far right, racist, extremist. It doesn't wash anymore. Those words and those smears and those labels worked for 20 years. They paralysed this entire nation of men and women who are too scared to speak out. I can confidently say now that fear, that bubble, it's burst. The British public are awake. You're going to see, I told you, Jesse, before, on the 13th of September, we're expecting 1 million people to descend from every corner of Britain onto our capital city, where the British public will send a message to the world that we are remaining silent no longer. We're watching the destruction of this country no more. We will not be silent any longer. That's what's happening. And I'm telling you, the country is bubbling. It's brewing for revolution. It's happening. Cat's out of the bag. They can't put it back in. People are awake. The more you see videos like this, what the media will now try and do, and politicians, is spin this. But it doesn't matter. They used to have the power. They used to have the monopoly. They don't have any power anymore. I pick this up, send one tweet, we reach more than the whole BBC. It doesn't matter anymore. Their power is gone. We're grateful to Elon Musk for giving the public back a space where we can see what's happening. We can discuss these topics and conversations. X is the only platform we have left in this country. If it wasn't for Elon Musk buying X, we'd be in the dark. None of us would have got this video. They'd have censored it, they'd have deplatformed it, and then they'd have spun the whole country with their media narrative. It doesn't wash anymore. Britain's awake.
Tommy, can you help me understand location when it comes to where they're putting these people, where these assaults are happening? And I say this because I'm not physically there. Is this isolated to the cities? Are they putting them in the countryside? Is it where is this taking place?
Well, what used to happen, because I'm from a town called Luton Town, which is a very rough town, 30 miles north of London. It has a 50% Muslim population. It's a very poor town, working class. These are the sorts of towns all these migrants used to be thrown into. They used to rape their way through them, and it would be our problem, but not anymore. Now, hotels in every single corner of Britain are full up with migrants. So in leafy suburban areas, places that weren't touched or affected by Islamic immigration, now in those small little areas, they can't let their children walk to school. They're getting sexually assaulted. So the problem that I used to talk about, which used to be confined to big cities like where I'm from, has now spread to every corner of Britain. There's not a single area that's not being affected anymore. So now the public have had a mass awakening, because it was all right when it wasn't in their backyard. Well, now it's in their backyard. It's not confined to one area. It's every corner of Britain, every town, every city. Hotels are full. Migrant attacks are happening in the places that you wouldn't expect them to happen, where there were no migrants. You might have a totally English suburban area like Epping, which has now been flooded with hotels housing 200 migrants, where young children are being sexually assaulted on their way to school. This is happening from one corner of Britain to the other. There's no hiding it anymore. The public see it. They feel it. I can sense, Jesse, that there is a massive shift in this country in public opinion. Something I've only watched and dreamed about for 15 years. I've been banging my head against the wall trying to wake this country up. And now the country's awake. It's awake. It's ready. People are listening. As I said, we're going to send a message to the establishment. British patriots, young, old women, grandmas, children are going to travel from all over Britain to send a message to our treacherous, tyrannical, traitorous government on September 13th.
Tommy, you mentioned earlier that the cops are complicit, that the cops shield them. That is beyond belief for a lot of us who have a lot of respect for law enforcement. Can you help me understand that dynamic?
Yeah. So police officers, I'll give you a couple of examples from government studies now, not my opinion. Two fathers, their 13-year-old daughters were in a house being raped by a group of Muslim men. The dads got together. They went to the house to get their daughters back. The police turned up and arrested the dads. They left the children in the house with Pakistani Muslim men being raped. Another incident. A young 12-year-old girl was in a derelict house, an abandoned home. Five Muslim men sexually assaulting and raping her. The police turned up. They arrested the 12-year-old girl for drunk and disorderly. They arrested the 12-year-old child for drunk and disorderly. They did not arrest or prosecute the men. Quite literally, the invading men have been given free rein from one end of this country to the other to kidnap, torture and rape. Now, I know to your viewers that sounds unbelievable, but if you want to put a scale on the power of political correctness, it paralysed an entire country like Britain. It paralysed their police force and government from one end of the country to the other. They stood by, and in all the government reports, in Rotherham, in Telford, in Rochdale, in Rotherham, 1,400 children were raped. Rotherham only has a 3.7% Muslim population. In Telford, 1,000 children were raped, five are dead. There's only a 1.7% Muslim population in that town. In Telford, they identified 200 Muslim rapists in that town alone. There's only 1,000 Muslim men in that town. 20% of the men were raping our children and murdering them, and only 11 of those men have faced prosecution. So when you see the cases in the UK and the pictures of the Muslims being charged in each town, it's a handful. When there's the reality is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in every town and city. The rape gang inquiry, just been published now by Rupert Lowe and Sammy Woodhouse. Sammy Woodhouse is a survivor of these rape gangs in Rotherham. They've identified 85 Islamic communities in towns and cities across the country which were raping their way through them. 85. Basically, every single town that has an Islamic community in Britain has these gangs targeting young English children. And whilst they were targeting, the police stood by, and they didn't just stood by, they prosecuted the families, they prosecuted the English men who stood up, they demonised us, they imprisoned us, they lied to the public about us, because they all had dirty hands. So there is a, for your audience to understand the scale of this problem, and in America, wake up, because if you've got Islamic communities, I guarantee you it's happening there. And the Democrats, just like our Labour Party, will be covering it up. And they'll cover it up because their next vote bank for their politics is coming from that Islamic community. And what means more to them, just like in England, what meant more to the Labour Party, the Islamic vote meant more than protecting young English girls. And your Democrat Party will be no different.
God have mercy. Tommy, final question. Are there any military leaders in Britain who have spoken out against this, current or former?
Ant Middleton is a former SAS military hero. He is speaking at our next event on the 13th of September. He is speaking strong. He's going to run for mayor of London. He'll face the same accusations and attacks, but the difference is where we are now to 24 months ago, even 12 months ago. Yes, people are now speaking. People are now starting to find the courage. And as more people speak up, it becomes more palatable, more acceptable, and more people are finding courage to speak up. So keep your eyes on the UK. Big things are brewing. There's a shift in public opinion. It's not going away.
Praise God. Tommy, blessings to your brother. Stay after him. I love patronizing companies that share and promote my values, don't you? I like that we have woken up to that on the right, that we realize we have to put our money where our morals are. That's why I love PureTalk. Verizon is a terrible company. AT&T, T-Mobile, they take your money and they use it for the worst possible stuff. PureTalk has never done that and will never do that. PureTalk is run by a Vietnam veteran, two tours with MacVSog. When you see PureTalk giving back, it's always to vets, getting veterans back on their feet. Remember what they did for Independence Day? Sending out American flags for free to veterans, whoever you nominated. Just send them American flags. I love my company. And I pay half of what I was paying? That doesn't hurt either. Switch to Pure Talk. You'll thank yourself for it. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. The Trump administration deserves all the credit in the world for their attempts so far to clean out the deep state filth. But don't think for a moment that it has been cleaned out. Communists have spent decades burrowing themselves inside of every single branch of the government, and they're not simply going to walk away now that Donald Trump is president of the United States. These are anti-American subversives who hold on to power in this country, and they must be dug out, root and branch. You see FEMA? Trump's going to overhaul FEMA. Of course, FEMA's freaking out about it. Super upset. Well, why? Why are Democrats super upset? Because they conquered FEMA too. Do I need to remind you after that hurricane, FEMA, they were skipping houses. They were going around finding houses who needed aid, and if you had a Trump flag, they skipped your house. Deeply evil. This is the system they've worked very hard to put into place, and this is why it's going to take a long time. I don't even know if it could be done in 4 years. Let's hope we get another four of somebody afterwards, and then another four after that. It's going to take that kind of time to root these people out. And, if I may point out, we wouldn't know a lot of these things if it wasn't for the whistleblowers.
It appears that I was retaliated against because I forwarded information to my superiors and others that questioned the official narrative of the events of January 6th. As a result, I was accused of promoting conspiratorial views and unreliable information. Because I did this, the FBI questioned my allegiance to the United States.
Mr. Friend, you ever been to a school board meeting?
Yes, I have.
FBI ever sent you to the parking lot of a school board meeting?
Yes, they have.
And in the parking lot of a school board meeting where the FBI sent you, you were taking down information regarding people's license plates.
That's correct.
But the FBI will crush you. This government will crush you and your family if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong. And we are all examples of that.
That's the reason we found out just how evil all the tyranny was inside of our government. And by the way, I should note, credit to Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, those whistleblowers, those brave whistleblowers, have finally been made whole. That was an announcement that was put out there. I'm a very happy man. I hope you are happy as well. But back to what they're doing inside of the government. Remember, without those brave whistleblowers, without people coming forward, we'd have to rely on people like Abby Phillips.
This idea that this was a weaponized, these were all these different prosecutions and all these different jurisdictions were not all directed from one place. There's absolutely no evidence of that. You guys can tell me what evidence you have of that, but I've never seen it and I've never heard anybody voice it.
The Obama and Biden administrations didn't politicize the DOJ. And
okay, who?
Oh, I mean, come on. You could, I mean, they were better at hiding it than it was, or not transparent.
I'm just saying,
how do we know who
if you are making the claim that this was directed by some kind of big puppeteer at the top of the pyramid, who is that person?
So how did the IRS only go after conservative groups?
They didn't, though.
And why? You're not answering my question. Who is the person?
I know, right?
Who are they?
I'm talking about the conservatives that Obama and Biden
went after. There's no proof. I'm sorry.
This is a tactic. Who was it? Name the person. There's no evidence. Of course, there's tons and tons and tons of evidence. Nathan Wade, when they were trying to throw Donald Trump in prison, Nathan Wade kept visiting the freaking White House. There's all kinds of evidence. Matthew Graves, his witch wife, was checked in and out of the White House over and over and over again when he was chucking as many Trump supporters in prison as humanly possible. Of course, all the evidence is out there, and they're all still there. Tulsi Gabbard talked about what she found.
And you've also found many bags of information. I think they call them burn bags. They're supposed to be burned, and they didn't get burned, having to do with how corrupt the 2020 election was. And when will that all come out?
Mr. President, I will be the first to brief you once we have that information collected. But you're right. We are finding documents literally tucked away in the back of safes in random offices in these bags and in other areas, which again speaks to the intent of those who are trying to hide the truth from the American people and trying to cover up the politicization that was led by people like John Brennan and James Clapper and others that have caused really immeasurable harm to the American people and to our country.
Great job.
They're still there. Lots and lots of them. We have a lot of work to do to cut the tumor out of our government. Again, credit to the Trump administration for making it happen. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And maybe my favorite thing in the world is evil communists in the government getting fired. Now, Susan Monterez, she was the CDC chief that Trump just hired. It was a month ago. And there were rumors flying that she was a big pharma stooge. She's gone. Canned. Immediately. That's a good thing. Celebrate. Wish she hadn't been hired to begin with, but whatever. She's gone now. Also, that weird monkeypox dude, the gay dude with the devil pentagram and stuff like that tattooed on himself, he quit too. So, we're winning. We'll take it. See you tomorrow.